Welcome back, everyone, to Room Hacks Res Ed Chat Podcast. If you're new to the show, every episode, our team of hosts brings you timely discussions on a variety of topics of interest to higher professionals who work in and with university housing, residence life, residential education. And this episode is another in our ongoing annual series where we like to invite in our blogging team to help our audience get to know them a little bit better and to go a little bit deeper on some of the topics that they are writing about. So we're excited to have you kick things off here, as we usually do. Briefly introduce yourself and give us an overview of your background, and then we'll get into the rest of our conversation, which will focus on lateral moves within the profession, which I think is a very interesting topic.
Thank you. Hello, my name is Tamara Humphreys. I use she, her, hers pronouns. I currently work at a university in the state of Minnesota, and I serve as a community director. I've been on the blogging team this year focused on RAs, resident advisors, giving them helpful advice and tidbits to successfully manage their jobs as student staff members. A little bit about me. I have worked at 4 universities since I graduated with my master's degree from Minnesota State University, Mankato. My degree is in counseling, student personnel, college student affairs. Finished my degree in the year of 2020, which you can imagine was an interesting time to finish a degree in higher education and then go into working in higher ed. We'll talk about it a little bit more as the podcast goes on today, but about lateral moves and why I made them and how they happened and how they might serve people. But really just excited to get to be chatting here today about, you know, that and being a part of this blogging cohort with RoomPact.
Yeah, I always appreciate, you know, I kind of get the duty to interview all of the bloggers, and it's such a great kind of diverse team and a lot of folks that like have never been interviewed on a podcast before, which is kind of fun as well, and bring kind of their a variety of perspectives and backgrounds and everything. So if you want to kind of take us back, you know, we're recording this in October, you know, you've gone through most of this calendar year already, kind of writing and everything, but like thinking back to like what inspired you to join in the first place, to apply and kind of go on this journey, what was that kind of motivation? What drew you to the opportunity?
I've worked at a few schools that use RoomPact as a service, so I was already aware of the blog post through that. And then also just, you know, I enjoy writing. I think I'm a pretty creative person. In my free time, I'm always making art and doing creative type things. So for me, when the opportunity came about, I thought, hey, why not give it a shot and see what happens? And then I really liked this blog in particular because it focused on serving the residence advisors, which are the folks that I've been supervising in my role already. And like I said, like there's some things, like, it's just a chance for me to, as a creative outlet, but then for serving the RAs, talk about just how it's a larger conversation about things that they may be talking with their direct supervisor about some of these things, but maybe not. I know the most popular blog post that I've written this year was called Help, I Want to Date a Fellow RA. There's really nothing out there on that specific topic. And yet, as a supervisor, I know that this is something that has come up every single year where I've been a supervisor. And my colleagues have been talking about, oh, this RA wants to go out with this RA and they're super nervous, or like they didn't tell me about it. And now I, as a supervisor, am frustrated that I didn't know this dynamic was going on my team. And so I thought, hey, why don't I write about that? Because people probably feel like they're all alone in this because they may be the only person on their team of 8 people who's crushing on another RA. But actually, across the board, this is something that happens often, right? Most of our resident advisors are kind of in that like 18 to 24 year old range where they are dating and getting to know people and things like that. So it's like, but yeah, you don't just talk about that all the time, right? And you feel like you're on an island by yourself thinking about these things. So as a blog writer, I'm able to kind of just go into some of those things that maybe you don't talk about every day or you're embarrassed to talk about with your supervisor and try to give a little guidance to some of the resident advisors. So yeah, just one example of something that I got to explore through the blog post and try to hopefully offer some good guidance to the young folks that we get to supervise in their RA role.
Yeah, that just makes me so happy that that's the most popular one. Like, it's just that like very kind of real talk sort of things versus like, you know, on one hand, it's nice when everybody kind of like, in a sense, like dogpiles and just kind of like reiterates or talks about the same thing, because certain things like bear repeating, and it's nice to be like, wow, there is sort of like a whole kind of zeitgeist happening about like this thing. Everybody's talking about it and providing their kind of commentary on it. But then when you like find this lane of like, wow, I don't think anybody's really written about like RAs dating each other, and there's a lot of dynamics there. Like, it's like it is clearly touching a nerve and, you know, really resonating with people. And I'm sure there's going to be a romance novel or something coming out about, you know, RAs dating or something out there now. They're equipped with the right kind of mindset and kind of frame for this. But, you know, I've really appreciated just getting to kind of witness on the sidelines, like, because there's other folks like here in the podcasting team that are kind of bringing a similar flavor to the content created here. Like, but there's just so much value, I think, in the consistent quality content that we're putting out through kind of the variety of mediums and bringing just a lot of, I guess, just diverse, unique, different perspectives. It's not just trying to kind of keep rehashing and maybe just like updating things. It's like really encouraging, you know, the distinct audiences, certainly of like RAs and of professional staff and just, you know, all the different kind of interests and things like that that can kind of be brought to the fore through content and everything. I think I've just seen like content creators, you know, especially on TikTok for whatever reason, where like they'll share about like, hey, does anybody else do this weird quirky habit thing? And like, it's like, hey, cool. Like I'm not the only one. Like I see that content and I feel very seen. So I think that's just a great thing that you're doing there, kind of putting out a similar thing where, yeah, somebody feels like very seen through that content and is getting, you know, the support they need to go about that the right way. Now we'll just kind of move on, kind of pivot here to the topic of this episode. Lateral moves. And just in case folks aren't aware, maybe if you want to give just a super succinct kind of definition of what we're meaning when we say lateral moves, but just kind of starting, you know, with that in kind of the broader sort of perspective from your experience, like what are some reflections on lateral moves you or others that you know have made in the past?
So for a definition of what a lateral move is, it's essentially switching jobs, but not necessarily seeing an increase in pay or an increase in responsibilities. So for example, in my role, though it is my fourth position that I've held, it's still an entry-level role. Yes, you need to have a degree and maybe my past experiences helped me get these roles, but it's still at that entry level. So it's essentially like having that same sort of, it might have the same pay, it might be similar in terms of tasks that you're completing. It's not considered a step up in terms of becoming like a mid-level position or something like that. Or you could be at a mid-level position and then going into another mid-level position, right? So when I say lateral move, what I'm talking about is going from one position to another position of the same level. It could be at the same university, though in my case, it has always been at a different university. All my positions have been community director type roles where I get to supervise resident advisors, but it could look like a variety of things. It could be, and sometimes a lateral move too can be switching within the same university. So going from working in residence life in an entry level role to then working in career services in an entry level role. That would also constitute a lateral move. But I thought it would be interesting just to talk about it a little bit because I never expected to make any lateral moves in my career. And then here I am in 5.5 years making 4 lateral moves. Just because that's where life kind of took me.
Mm-hmm. I do think this is really important to talk about because it is that notion where like I can say I've had the same sort of thoughts around like, oh, I think I'm supposed to do my career a certain way. And, you know, it's not maybe like talked about a lot, but there is often some very good motivating reasons for why people do these things. And I appreciate, yeah, this is something that I think is a time well spent to explore. And I'm sure, yeah, just especially within like the past 5 years, folks have had to make kind of decisions for a variety of reasons that have caused them to make lateral moves and things. So I appreciate you giving kind of that general context. But if you want to, just jump into kind of your reflections about your journey and maybe other folks, again, who have made either similar moves or just other examples of these sort of like lateral moves and kind of what was like kind of the journey the folks went on.
So yeah, what is the purpose of a lateral move, right? For some folks, it might be to gain a specific skill by moving to another position. For some people, it could be a change of pace. So for example, in one role that I was at, I was doing apartment style housing, and then I just wanted to change the pace and ended up going into traditional first year housing. Really at the center of why I had those lateral moves, it was because of personal life needs, although that's not always the case, right? My first position, I had applied to 60 jobs. It was 2020. Those jobs kind of got canceled. And then I got hired into a job at my alma mater because they were like, hey, we need a temporary person for this 10-month position. And I was like, yeah, that sounds great. I need a job. So sometimes that's the circumstance, right? Like we all have to navigate and do what is right for us. But it's interesting because when I was in school, so from 2018 to 2020, all the literature was talking about like your first job, you should stay there for 3 to 5 years. That was pretty much a consistent consensus. It was 3 to 5 years is what you wanted to do. And I don't necessarily think that's always the case anymore. Just the other day, and I'm going to pull this up really quick. There's this like Residence Life Facebook group, and people will just post all kinds of different things. But someone asked the question, is 2 years an acceptable amount of time to stay in a position? I originally wanted to spend 3 to 5 years at this job. Again, that's what the literature from before 2020 says to do. But I'm really struggling with the rural location of the school. Everyone is either a college student or a retiree, making it difficult to develop a social life or find a support system outside of my work. I love the job, but it really feels like I'm a residence life coordinator and nothing else. So when they were talking about that, it goes right into kind of what I'm thinking about is like, yeah, what is acceptable and when can you take that lateral step into something else? And the feedback that people shared with them, rather, someone said the acceptable amount of time to stay in a position is as long as the position is still a good fit for you and you're a good fit for it. Mm-hmm. Someone else said, yeah, it doesn't matter as much anymore, especially in the earlier years. Another person said, like my colleagues have said, the amount of time doesn't really matter. Ask yourself if you're happy. Are your needs being met? And have you accomplished what you want out of the position? Someone else chimed in and said, I remember when 2 years was the norm for an entry live-on role. So that can be the case, right? Like there's no clear-cut answer to all of this. One person even said, it doesn't really matter anymore. I've seen people jump jobs every year. Sometimes things, places, people, jobs just don't fit. Why torture yourself by staying in a place that you don't want to be because society made up an arbitrary rule? So that's some of the things that just other folks have been saying that I just saw on Saturday. So it is something that comes up pretty often when folks are thinking about if they should leave their current role or if they should stay.
Well, yeah, and just to jump in there, because I think like we often don't talk about the other side of this, which like it's an idea of like people will just squat on a job. Like sometimes an entry level one will be like, I've been here for 10 years in this job. And it's like, you're kind of like depriving it from somebody else. Like I've seen some institutions where they put like a limit on like a community director. It's like, you can only be in this for like 5 years max. And we are very explicit about trying to build like a plan for you and that sort of thing. So like, it's really interesting, the dynamics where we get like almost entirely the focus on like, we've got to stay there for at least this many years or else it's going to be like this, like, you know, scarlet letter and you're going to be, you know, blacklisted and all these sort of things. But then we don't talk about people sort of like overstaying their welcome. So I think like, it's interesting, just sort of these, like, it's almost like folklore of like, you have to stay for this much time or else or whatever. And it's like, who came up with this? I don't know. Like, you know, it's all sort of like arbitrary.
Well, and as I look at my own career, okay, why did I leave my second job, which was at the University of Colorado Boulder? I enjoyed the work I was getting to do, and I was in my third year working there, and I knew I had a four-year contract, and my spouse got a job in another state. Okay, why would I do long distance with my spouse if I know I only have this job for one more year? So that is part of why, right, that I ended up switching, right? So, like, the employer has to think about who they're employing and what that is offering for the students. But then we as the employee also need to think about, okay, what's right for us and how do we do the right thing for ourselves? So it's like both of those things kind of coexisting and figuring out how to work together.
Yeah. And I appreciate just to sort of like really, you know, capture what you're saying, because I think it's important to think about the sort of spectrum even within this, you know, kind of conversation of like, okay, you are considering making a lateral move. It can be even within the same institution, like that's sort of like one area. It can be, you know, the dynamics of like, I think you can see that where it's like, okay, explicitly like you are a community director, but like there is ones where it's like, technically community is bigger or larger than somebody else's, or it's apartment style versus like traditional or suites or whatever, you know? So that could be something where it's like, that technically is a lateral move and a pretty modest one. But if it's like, you're looking for one thing or another, like that is a version of this, or within the same institution, you're, you know, like you're saying, like, I want to go work at career services. That's just really meaningful to me. I've always been interested in it, but you know, this was a great opportunity and I've learned a lot from it. You know, you want to make that move, and obviously it's gonna be a little bit different because there's not gonna be so many like bureaucratic paperwork kind of things, because it's like still an employee at the same institution, just got a different title. And then yeah, you could do at a completely different institution, similar role, completely different institution, different role, like that sort of thing. And then there's gonna be a lot of things where it's like, are you moving all the way across the country or just like down the road, or you know, that sort of thing. And or you know, certainly like dynamics of like, did you have an in-hall, you know, apartment and now you're moving off campus and then, you know, whatever, and that's kind of implicit in your lateral move. But you know, and I think all those sort of precipitating factors, like you said, are really important of like lifestyle and growth opportunities, or you know, all those sort of things. But I think if you're getting maybe this sense, this is on your mind, you're thinking that you might want to pursue a lateral move, are there certain variables that you think folks should consider, I guess? Because I think like certainly it would maybe matter where on the spectrum, you know, what kind of flavor of a lateral move somebody might be making could certainly, you know, inform this. But just any sort of commentary that you want to make on that, of sort of like, okay, before you start kind of treading down a path, what are some things that maybe folks should consider and maybe prepare for?
I think thinking about the goal of why you want to make that lateral move is important, right? If it's that, you know, the institution you're at, what kind of fit is it? Is there a different type of fit? You're looking at another institution. I think sometimes too, it can be helpful to like, look up in your hierarchical structure of where you're working. maybe there's not space to grow where you're currently at. If you look up and there's folks who have been in their associate director positions for a while and they're probably not going to leave until they retire or become a director, right? There's that bottleneck. Okay, maybe you do make a lateral move so you can develop a network at another place where you may be able to move up at some point, right? That's something to think about too. I also think just like your personal life is something to consider too. So at this point in my career, like I said, this is the fourth place I've worked in 5.5 years. My spouse in July took a job in Texas and I went, I don't think I want to move to Texas for your temporary 1 year job that you're going to be doing. So I'm going to stay here because I think 3 moves is kind of my number for the amount of time that I've had that I feel is acceptable. And what does acceptable mean? Of course, people have different perspectives of it, and there is no clear-cut right answer, but I want to establish myself somewhere. So I've decided, okay, I'm done with lateral moves in this moment. That's not to say that will never change, but right now I want to kind of stay somewhere and establish myself. And I've found a place where I enjoy working and I think it's a good fit. So that's something that I've considered as well. I'm sure there's things I'm not considering as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, there's always going to be opportunity costs for any decision we make. So it's like, and sometimes those are just more apparent than other times. But like, I think it is what I always sort of sensing and hearing from what you're saying is like, as much as you can before you kind of set on the journey of like, you know, starting to like get your resume together, apply to things and whatever, like, put some like boundaries in place, like draw, you know, what's the red line or whatever, you know, like for you, it's like just in my gut feels like, you know, 3 times within a period of time is too many times to move. Cause it's like, that is like a burden and sort of like, you know, it's a hassle to have to like move and stuff. But so that idea of like, if you give yourself, and I always love this metaphor of like giving yourself a sandbox to play in, you know, like set boundaries, it is contained in that area. That is where you can kind of, you know, mess around and see what happens. Cause it could be that idea of like knowing, okay, where I am now, I feel like these are the things that I'm looking for. So I want to go to a more urban place on the East Coast for a position in residence life, like all those sort of things. Cause then like, I think there is a temptation if it's just sort of like, I'm souring on something here. One, like there is something to be said of like, don't just immediately like jump ship at the first sort of, cause like jobs to jobs, there's going to be parts that you don't like, but it's like, you know, that idea, if you sort of like meditate on it, you know, start building kind of the boundaries and like, you know, going about it with as much intentionality as you can, you're not just sort of like, I want anything else that's not this, and then you just end up in a similar position or whatever. Start putting those boundaries in place. Be really, you know, kind of fine-tuning and kind of focused as you can so that you are absolutely getting as close to kind of bullseye target of what you're looking for your lifestyle, for your professional kind of development opportunities and, you know, just kind of the dynamics of your day-to-day and everything. Because I think that that is important. I think there's just sometimes that kind of knee-jerk or just like tendency of just like anything else is better than this because it's different. And it's like, maybe, but maybe not. Like just get, because I think like for me, just naturally, I think, and I would assume that this is the case for most people, I think is like each job you go into, you kind of start like kind of Goldilocksing your way towards like, I felt this, I've lived it, I like this about it, not that. So that in each search, you know, that you're like, I want more of this, less of that. And like, you know, whatever else. So like, you just kind of keep getting better at that naturally. Hopefully if you're sort of like reflecting on those sort of like moments and milestones and parts of your journey, I think, you know, especially if you know that like, okay, I guess there's something here and I'll kind of bounce this back to you. But that idea of like, I would presume most people aren't being like starting a job search and being like, I'm going to make a lateral move. Like that's not necessarily the frame, but like, it could be that idea of like, I'm comfortable doing that and like approaching my search in this way. So I think like, if you could speak to maybe that idea of like, you know, because I'm thinking, I guess, a lot about this sort of like preparatory piece. How can you sort of like get in the right mindset, sort of prepare yourself and sort of set yourself up for success as much as possible. I don't know, like any of those things swirling and acknowledging that piece of like, sure, you're probably not going to be starting the search presuming that you're going to make a lateral move, but like that you may just need to be comfortable with doing that to achieve what you're looking for, you know, and having it happen with more kind of expediency.
Right. And maybe if someone is job searching, first and foremost, I don't think I feel like someone can apply to a job at any time. That doesn't mean you're necessarily actively job searching or trying to leave your current position. There's no guarantee that you'll apply to the job and then get it, right? So I don't think there's any harm in folks applying to some things that they might be interested in. But also, it's good to know what you're interested in. And as you said, like, as you're playing around in the sandbox, is there a certain amount of pay you need to see? Are there certain benefits that will really help you, right? Like, some folks might need better health insurance than the next person, or somebody might feel like they need a certain amount of funds to support their family I know where I'm working now, it's a Catholic institution, so you have to be married to have your significant other live on campus with you. For some people, that might be a deal breaker, so that's not the kind of position you would want to apply to. So everyone has these different factors and things that they'll need to consider when it comes to looking for a job. And right, maybe it's that they're looking for more responsibility, or they're wanting to work at a school that takes a curricular approach, or who knows? There's just such a plethora of things someone could be looking for when it comes to taking a move. And then also, there's times where someone might kind of be forced into taking a move in their position. I've had friends who have just sort of lost jobs because of cuts being made in higher education. So that's a thing that can happen to folks too, and it's not their fault. It's just the landscape of higher education right now. So there's a lot that goes into why someone might make a lateral move, even if that's not necessarily what their goal is as they go into it.
Yeah, and I mean, you're already kind of acknowledging, you're kind of answering this next question I had of like the way the environment impacts. And like, those are certain things of like, I'm thinking like big, small institution, public, private, you know, religiously affiliated or not. And then like, yeah, and I guess even acknowledge, like, yeah, are they using the curricular approach? Like, what style of housing do they have? Like, because it might just be where it's like, yeah, we're in like an urban environment, or we don't have the like traditional campus experience or whatever. Like, that, you know, environment will impact things as well. And certainly, like, you know, where you're coming from, that idea of like the dynamics of like, I don't have a job anymore. I've been let go because, you know, of cuts or whatever, is like, I was thinking like a metaphor, like I'm needing to like jump ship in the sense of like, this is a sinking ship. Like, I don't have anywhere to be now. So I need to jump to another thing, which may be like a lateral move. And I think even just some of the other things that you're mentioning, I guess you could sort of lump into here of like that idea of like the hierarchy, like that could sort of inform just that idea of like, I'll make a lateral move so that I then can have sort of a runway or sort of a trajectory to kind of move up and stuff. And, you know, that unfortunately is the case sometimes for folks, is they have to like move on to move up and whatever. But and even, yeah, just unfortunately the you know, moment we're in of just cuts and things like is also just sort of I think informing a lot of people's perspectives. But I think it's the biggest, I think, headline here is like, if you can be open to a lateral move, I think it certainly opens your opportunities to have sort of like better kind of day-to-day work, just general lifestyle and all those sort of things. So I think the environment impacts sort of all the like push and pull kind of factors, you know, that would go into somebody kind of starting on this journey. So I feel like we've, you know, I've covered that pretty well. And I appreciate you sort of like speaking, I think, to kind of a comprehensive context. And clearly it's, you know, stirring something in my mind of just sort of like all these dynamics of like, how do we make choices in our lives? And, you know, like of where we work and, you know, what jobs we do and, you know, all those sort of things. But as we wrap this up, though, like, are there other like final bits of advice or resources that you'd want to share on this topic that we could like put in the show notes, or just stuff to kind of cast people out back into the world as they finish up this episode?
I don't have any specific resources that I'll point folks to, but I would advise people to kind of look at their own personal situation, think about what's right for them and in the moment, but also your career in the long run, being forward thinking. If you have a mentor, that can be something, someone who's really good to speak with regarding, you know, kind of what you're processing and sitting in. Mentorship can just be a good way to get to chat with someone who maybe isn't right in the work that you're doing or right at the same institution that you're at. And like I said before, applying for a job doesn't mean you're leaving your current role. It could help get you thinking about the things that you're looking for in a job as well. At the end of the day, there's really no right or wrong answer when it comes to your own personal career journey. So it makes it hard to know what the right answer is when there's no playbook exactly laying it all out for you. So I guess those would be my parting words.
I guess part of it is like you have to make the playbook for yourself. Like, you got to set those boundaries and priorities and things like that. And, I mean, yeah, certainly the counsel of sage and wise advisors can be sort of informative in that regard. And I think, yeah, I mean, and sometimes in those situations where I have to like stop and tell myself where it's like, you know, there's not like a wrong choice. Like, you can't make a wrong choice here. It is like you are kind of getting stuck in your head of like, I want to make the perfect best, you know, choice or whatever. It's like, hey, you got nothing but good choices here. You can't make a wrong choice. You just do need to decide on something, and not get kind of stuck in sort of the like analysis paralysis of, you know, just comparing things and, you know, spreadsheets or whatever. It's just like, because even that idea of like your advice of like, you know, don't let a good opportunity pass you by, like apply, interview, see how it feels or whatever, versus it being like, well, I've not formally started a job search yet, so I don't know if I can like apply to that. It's like, apply if you want and see what happens. And even just the general notion that I've had a lot of times is like, you know, I'll apply more often to things than not, because it's the idea of like, I'm going to let them tell me no. I'm not going to tell myself no. Like, make them say like, no, we're good. Like, you know, especially if, you know, if it's just sort of like right out of the gate, you apply, you get the rejection. It's like, all right, cool, whatever. Or just like, you know, you go through interviews and it's like, all right, well, I did my best. I was able to showcase myself. And, you know, they told me no. It wasn't me sort of, you know, getting in my own way and not even applying. It's like, oh, you know, not even going to be worth it. So I think, yeah, this is, I think an important conversation, clearly a timely one, as it ever is, you know, folks in that Facebook group talking about it just recently. So I hope that this could be a resource and kind of inspiring, motivating, you know, piece of content for folks navigating all of this, and appreciate you sharing all that you did. Appreciate you doing all that you've done for the blogging team this year. And yeah, it's just been great talking to you for this episode.
You too.